Harmony Baptist Church, providing a message of hope to the hopeless.
Well, if you're glad to be saved, say amen. It sure is an honor to be back this morning with Brother Thacker and all you here at Harmony Baptist Church. I count it an honor to stand behind this pulpit. I told Brother Thacker yesterday the message he preached at the funeral was one of the best I'd ever heard. It was simple, but it was so profound, all in the same token, and I appreciate that message yesterday. I love to hear him sing. I could listen to him sing all day long. I told him when I first met him, he reminded me of Billy Kelly, and he still does to this day, even though he's half the size he was when I met him. And I'm thankful for the opportunity to be here. Be praying for us. The Tent Crusade starts there in Hurdle Mills in just 2 weeks, and we ask that you pray for us, that God will lead, guide, and direct. Our burden is revival and reaching this generation with the gospel. And we pray that God will move in a mighty way. We also have a lot going on there in Tennessee. The preliminary stages of the new revival center is taking place there on the grounds where the Tent Crusade took place. Over 30 weeks, God moved in that town, and over 1,000 people trusted Christ. And God has made a way for us to be able to build an awakening center there for revival, for people to come from all over the world to experience revival. God gave us 25 acres there, Brother Thacker. And we're praying that God will continue to move in these last days before Jesus comes back. I want to give you what God gave me today, put on my heart actually about a week ago and really solidified it this morning. But take your Bibles and turn to Revelation chapter number 21. Revelation chapter number 21. Revelation chapter number 21. I told Brother Thacker yesterday, I believe that yesterday's services was the best I'd ever been in this church. I've had the privilege of being here several times since God saved me. But yesterday it was just amazing. But we cannot go off of what God did yesterday. We need something fresh this morning, so I pray God would speak to all of our hearts. If you found your place, please stand in reverence to the Word of God. Revelation chapter number 21. We're going to read several passages and verses of Scripture, so please remain standing, and I pray that God will speak to your heart today and encourage you in the Lord. Revelation 21 and 4 says, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." I'm looking forward to that day. Somebody say amen. Amen. "And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Verse number 10. "And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone, most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and gates thereof, and the wall thereof. The city lieth 4 square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. He measured the wall thereof 144 cubits according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold like unto clear glass. The foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth a topaz, the tenth a chrysophorus, the 11th a jacinth, the 12th amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. And the city of the city was pure gold as it were transparent. The street was, of course. I was no temple therein. I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. The city had no need of the sun, neither the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. The nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth to bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. They shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall no wise enter in anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. This morning I want to give you the thought that God put on my heart just a few days ago for today's service on Won't It Be Wonderful There. Won't it be wonderful there? Heavenly Father, I pray now in Jesus' name. I pray, Father, you'd give me liberty to preach this morning. I pray, Father, Lord, you would drain me of myself and forgive me of any pride, God, any selfishness, any lust, any greed, anything in my heart that would cause you not to use me or speak through me this morning. I pray, Father, that you would please forgive me of that. I pray, Father, Lord, that if this is my last time to stand behind your sacred desk, I pray, Father, you would preach me with words from another world. I pray, Father, Lord, that in Jesus' name you would encourage all of our hearts today of this place called heaven. Thank you for the hope that we have that one day, Lord, we're going to see you face to face. Now, Father, I pray, Lord, you illuminate my mind. Give me clarity of thought and clarity of speech. For it's in Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Revelation chapter number 21 is where we find our text this morning with the thought, won't it be a wonderful there? If you back up just one chapter into Revelation chapter number 20, we find in verse number 10 where the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and shall be tormented forever and forever. Then we see the great white throne takes place. And every individual that has ever rejected Christ from the beginning of mankind will be judged one final time and cast into the lake of fire forever and forever. This is going to be a tormenting time. This is going to be a very discouraging time. This is going to be a very fearful time, not only for those that are lost without God, but this is going to be a very tormenting and fearful time for those of us who have received Christ. Because we're going to experience our loved ones and those that we love that never received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior cast into the lake of fire. But I'm thankful that it doesn't end there. I'm thankful in chapter 21 in verse 4 that God says He's going to wipe away all of our tears from our eyes. I believe when He wipes away all the tears from our eyes, He's going to wipe away every memory that we ever had of anything bad in our past. I'm thankful for the promise of the Word of God that one day we're going to have everything that's ever been happening in our lives that was negative, that was bad, every bad thought, every bad memory, every bad circumstance will be wiped away from our memory. All tears will be wiped away from our eyes. And that gives
me hope today, knowing that heaven is a place that I cannot wait to get there. I don't know about you, but here lately, I've been looking towards the eastern sky more than normal. Every day I wake up saying, Lord, is this the day that you're going to come back? I woke up this morning looking towards the eastern sky thinking, God, this could be the day that you come back to take your children home. I don't know about you, but something bubbles up inside of me thinking that the possibility that Jesus could come back after us today. I don't know about you, but I'm ready to go to heaven today. There's nothing here that is holding me back. This world's not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. I'm thankful that in May of 2016 that God set my sights towards another world, and I'm looking forward to that day where all of our faith will be turned into sight. Won't it be wonderful there? God gives us a plain description in Revelation chapter 21 of just a little insight of what heaven is going to be like. But as I look in this passage of Scripture, I see several things that makes me want to go to heaven even sooner. Number one, when I think of this wonderful place called heaven, I see a place that has no more burdens. No more burdens. We're not going to have to worry about toting around the burdens of life anymore. We're not going to have to worry about sickness anymore. We're not going to have to worry about health issues and financial issues anymore. There's going to be no more family problems. There's going to be no more bad circumstances that take place in our life, Brother Steve. But thankful on the other side, there's no more burdens. Brother Thacker, you're not going to have to worry about losing any more children. You're not going to have to worry about any more health issues. You're not going to have to worry about laying in bed at night and crying yourself to sleep over lost loved ones that you're so burdened for. But over on the other side, there's no more burdens. There's no more pain. There's no more guilt. And that makes me want to go to heaven even more today. There's no more burdens on the other side. I don't know about you, but the pressures and the struggles of life sometimes get so heavy and they weigh us down so much. But over on the other side, there's no more burdens to bear. You remember with me back to the moment that you got saved by the grace of God. Remember those first few seconds after the weight and the burden of sin was taken off of your heart. Remember with me those first few seconds after you asked Jesus to come in your heart and that burden was rolled away off of your shoulders. Imagine now with me having that same peace and that same comfort and that same feeling throughout eternity in this place called heaven. No more burdens to bear. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that heaven is my home. If you're sitting here and that doesn't do something for you, honey, I would check up on your salvation. Because I'm here to tell you, I'm tired of this whole world. I'm tired of the burdens that come with this whole world. But I'm thankful this isn't the end of the story, honey. This is just the beginning for the child of God. I'm looking for the trumpet to sound at any moment. There's no more burdens to bear. Won't it be wonderful there? But no, notice this. Not only is there no more burdens that we'll have to bear, there'll be no more battles to have to fight. I'm looking forward to that day, ma'am, where there'll be no more battles to have to fight. In that glorious city, we'll not be fighting the devil and the demons of hell and spiritual warfare every day. We'll not have to battle our minds. Do you know the biggest battle that Satan wages on the man and the woman of this day is their mind? If the devil can get in your mind, he can control your life. But over on the other side, we're not going to have to battle our minds. We're not going to have to battle the bad thoughts. We're not going to have to battle the temptations of sin, because on the other side, there's no more battles to fight. We're all in one mind and one accord. I'm looking forward to that day where I can be with the men and women of God and we can never fight anymore. We can have unity. Hey, look at that day that's coming one day where the men and women of God, the children of God, can all be in unison singing, holy, holy, holy is the Lamb of God. It's not going to be just Baptist in heaven. There's not just going to be Methodist in heaven. There's not just going to be Presbyterian in heaven. But it's going to be the children of God, this blood bought by the power of a living God. And we're forever and ever going to sing, holy, 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 holy Lord God Almighty. No more burdens on that
wonderful side, no more battles. But not just that, there's going to be no more bondage on the other side. No more bondage of sin. The Bible says that in that day, there's not going to be anything that's going to be allowed in that is going to defile that beautiful city. Nothing that will work abomination or maketh a lie, but only those that have been written in the Lamb's book of life. I'm thankful that there'll never be any more bondage of sin on that other side. All these years and decades and centuries where the devil has destroyed lives, he'll not have the ability to do that over there. There'll be no more bondage of temptation, no more bondage of alcohol, no more bondage of pornography, no more bondage of the dope and the sin and the heroin, no more bondage of bitterness that God's people carries around, no more bondage of anger, no more bondage at all over there. It's going to be free, 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 and won't it be wonderful there when we get to the other side and we don't have to worry about, Brother Steve, the bondage of sin anymore in our life. Say, D.R., when you got saved, that sin was broken down and the chains were broken down. Oh, yes, it was. But don't think for one second the devil doesn't try to wrap you back up in those same chains after you get saved. He battles in our mind. And he uses our mind against us. He'll take those same things that used to be our downfall as a lost man, and the devil will take those same things and he'll paint a beautiful picture with it again, but wrap it a different way. He'll try to bind you back up in the same bondage that he had on your life just a few years before. But I'm thankful that in that day, on that beautiful city, there's no more bondage that'll take place. Won't it be wonderful there? I love this old song. And what a day that will be. Sing now. When my Jesus I shall see. And I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. Say now, and when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what I like this verse here now. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear. Sing now, no more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. Oh, what a day, glorious day. Let's sing that again. I think the Lord loves that. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens. Think about now. No more sick. No pain, no more parting. Here's the best part now. And forever I will be. What a day. Lift it up on the chorus now. And what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. And I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day. How many of y'all is looking forward to that day? And for the child of God, that's the hope that we have. That's the hope that we have.
in our darkest of the darkest midnight, when it seems like the world is crumbling down around us, when it seems like that we can't make any progress forward, it seems like the devil has beat us down to the point we just want to quit and throw in the towel, we can always look to the Word of God in the hope and revelation that tells us there is a place coming, that heaven is a true reality, and one day our hope is going to become sight whenever we see Jesus face to face. Won't it be wonderful? There.
No more burdens, no more battles, no more bondage.
John 14 and 1 says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." That is a promise from God that He will return and receive us unto Himself. You say, give us a few things about this place called heaven. I'm glad you asked, because I'm going to. Heaven is a prepared place. I'm thankful that Jesus left 2,000 years ago. He didn't go just to go throw a tent together and put it out in the middle of a field and say, "This is the best I'm going to give you." But for 2,000 years, our God, our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ has been preparing a place for you and preparing a place for me. And I can't wait for that day, because everything God does, He does all out. Look at what He did in just 6 days. He created the moon. He created the stars. He created the heavens and the earth. He created every bug. He created every snowflake, which, by the way, is different. He created all of you and all of me, and hey, He's been spending 2,000 years creating you a mansion and me a mansion. Somebody help me this morning. This ought to cause you to be excited to know that Jesus loves you so much, He's prepared a place on the other side just for you. I believe this, and some of you Bible scholars don't come up and try to correct me afterwards. I just want to use my imagination for a minute. I can't prove this in the Word of God, but I believe, Brother Steve, that each individual person has a specific prepared mansion waiting for them. I believe it. I believe that God knows all of our personalities. It says that we'll be known as we're known. I'll know you as Brother Frank Thacker in heaven. You'll know me as D.R. Harrison in heaven. And just as much as we know each other up there like we know each other here, you're different in your makeup and I'm different in my makeup. There's colors you like that I don't like. There's colors I like that you may not like. You may wear a certain type of suit that I don't wear. You may do something I don't do, but your personality is different. I believe God loves us so much that each mansion is going to be tailored specifically for our personalities when we get to heaven. You say, "I don't believe that." I don't care whether you do or not. I'm going to believe it, because I believe Jesus loves me so much. He pays such attention to details, and I believe He loves you and He loves me so much that He's preparing a specific place for you and a specific place for me. And I don't know about you, but won't it be wonderful there when Jesus, when we finally see Jesus face to face and the place that He spent 2,000 years preparing for us. I can see the moment we get to heaven. I can see that particular moment when I meet Jesus face to face. Imagine with me just that moment. Our minds can't comprehend it, but I'm going to try to give it a decent shot this morning. Imagine with me the moment we get to heaven, whether by rapture or by death. Imagine those first 5 minutes in glory. Imagine with me as we stroll down the streets of gold with Jesus. I can imagine we go down a little ways and I look to the left and there's a big mansion there. And on the front of the door it says, "D.R.'s Mansion." We walk in and everything that I could ever imagine and even more is inside that mansion. And after we walk through it a little bit, Jesus sits me down. He starts talking specifically to me. "I'm so glad you're here. I love you so much. I've been waiting for this moment forever. just to be able to sit and talk with you face to face. You say, I don't believe it. Oh, I do. I can imagine Jesus saying after a little while, I've got to walk on down and I'll be back in a little bit. Enjoy what I prepared for you. I can imagine walking out my front door, walking down the street of gold. I can imagine walking up and seeing another mansion, and on the front of that it saying, Frank Thacker. I walk on in, and as soon as I walk in, I hear Brother Thacker singing. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because He first loved me. Me and Brother Thacker reminisce a little bit. We shout a little bit. We praise the Lord a little bit. And then Brother Thacker says, hey, walk with me a second. I want to show you something. And as we walk out the front door, we walk down the street of gold. And we come up to the next mansion. Sitting on the front porch, up over his head on the door, it says, Jonathan. Feel the Lord. Jonathan sitting on the front porch and says, hey, Dad. Thank you for praying for me all those years. Thank you for coming by that hospital bed that one last day. Thank you for having enough courage to look me in the eye and say, son, do you know that you know that you know you're saved? Can you look me in the eye and promise me you'll see me there? Dad, thank you for coming to me one more time. Look at me now, Dad. No more diabetes. Dad, look at me now. I'm not sick anymore. Look at me now, Dad. Thank God for your prayers, Dad. And as we sit there and as we worship a little bit and praise the Lord for what He's done, Brother Thacker says, I want to show you something else. We walk on down those steps and walk on up the streets of gold, and we turn around the corner and there's Billy Kelly's mansion. There's Percy Ray's mansion. There's J. Harold Smith's mansion. There's Jack Hyles' mansion. There's B.R. Lincoln's mansion. There's Charles Spurgeon's mansion. There's R.A. Torrey's mansion. There's A.W. Tozer's mansion. Hallelujah. There's Billy Sunday's mansion. There's D.L. Moody's mansion. There's George Whitfield's mansion. There's Peter's mansion. There's Paul's mansion. There's Moses' mansion. And we all just start singing, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. I'm going to have myself a time today, whether you do or not. I'm thankful that it'll be wonderful there, because it's a prepared place for me and for you. Won't it be wonderful there? Won't it be wonderful there? Having no burdens to bear, joyously singing, with heart bells are ringing. Oh, won't it be wonderful there? Sing it again now. Oh, won't it be having no burdens to bear. Oh, won't it be?
Sing that song right there.
Oh, won't it be wonderful there? Having no burdens to bear. Joyously singing with heart bells a ringing. Oh, won't it be wonderful?
Sing it one more time. Now sing it from the
top. Won't it be wonderful there? Having no burdens to bear. Joyously singing with heart bells a ringing. Oh, won't it be wonderful there? I can't wait for that day, for this prepared place. Not only is it a prepared place, but it's a perfect place. No sin, no bitterness, no ill will, no preachers fighting one another, no denominations fighting one another, no gossip, no anger, just a perfect, peaceful, prepared place. Not only is it a perfect place, a peaceful place, a prepared place, but it's a praising place. Nowhere in the Word of God will you find where we're preaching in heaven. Find it. There is no preaching in heaven. Nowhere in the Word of God will you find where there's praying in heaven. But you do find all throughout Scripture in the New Testament where in heaven we'll be praising His name, singing His praises all around the throne of God. Makes me wonder about some people who never worship Him down here. If you can't worship Him here, how are you going to worship Him there? Ever wondered about that? Now, I've been in services where on the same road, there's been somebody on this end clapping their hands. Somebody beside of them just crying. Somebody beside of them standing up shouting. Somebody on the other end with their head in their hands, and they're all doing the same thing. They're worshiping the Lord. We all don't worship the same. I'm strung a little higher gear than what some people are. Some of you, like my mother is like this. If she starts chewing her chewing gum real fast, you know that God's moving in her heart. She'll have a little tear come down her eye. And her chewing gum, her mouth will just be doing that like this that fast on the chewing gum. Now my dad's different. My dad, before his health got bad, he was wired. He was wired 220. He'd run a lap. He'd jump up on a pew. He'd stand up on the pulpit, shout to the top of his lungs. Everybody worships a little bit differently in their way according to their personality. But there's a problem that I have when two brethren can't get along together if they're worshiping the same Lord. I've never understood why this preacher will fight this preacher. This church will fight this church. This crowd will fight this crowd. If you're serving the Lord and worshiping the same God, there ought to be a unity there between the women and children and the men of God. This church won't fellowship with this church because this church has drums in it. This church won't fellowship with this church because they use soundtracks. This church won't fellowship with this church because they run bus routes and bring bus kids in. This preacher won't fellowship with this preacher because he wears a colored shirt, not just white shirts. This preacher won't fellowship with this preacher because he wears cufflinks. You think I'm telling a lie? That's the honest to God truth. That's how crazy we've got. This church won't fellowship with this church because this church doesn't have just white lights in it. It's got colored lights in it. This church has a screen that comes down and it makes it look too much like a movie theater, so we can't be around that mess. And the reality is, if you're saved by the power of God and you're worshiping the same God, we should all be able to get along and we should all be able to, in unity, worship the same Lord. Because look, it ain't about you and it ain't about me. It ain't about you being a Baptist or a Pentecostal or a Methodist or a Presbyterian. Newsflash, there's going to be more than independent Baptists in heaven. There's going to be a lot of independent Baptists who don't even make it there because they're nothing but a bunch of religious Pharisees. But if you're saved by the power of God, you've got God living in your heart, we should be able to worship the same God and come together and unify, understanding that Jesus loved us, Jesus died for us, and He's prepared a place for all of us one day to get out of this wicked world, to get away from all the bondage, all the burden, and all the battles that we have to face. I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to that day. Won't it be wonderful there? If you're saved, there should be something inside of you that's pushing you towards heaven. Before I got saved, my eyes were fixed on the things of this world. You know what my God was when I was lost? Money. I had to make more of it. I had to have the nicest cars, have the nicest house, the nicest things to impress people I didn't even like. That's right. My whole life is wrapped around the things of this world. But when God saved me, He took that desire away. And He put a place inside of me that goes so deep and is full of the desire to see no one but Him and to long for this place called heaven. I often wonder, Brother Thacker, everywhere I go, it seems like the church is getting more caught. The things of this world takes precedent in our life. But where is the hunger and the desire for heaven? Where is the hunger for people saying, oh, I don't care about that house. I don't care about that career. I don't care about that 401k. I'm laying up treasures on the other side. Rust doesn't corrupt. I'm looking forward to that day. Won't it be wonderful there? I'm looking forward to this prepared place. Looking forward to this perfect place. Looking forward to this peaceful place. It's been a battle. If you do anything for God, you're going to battle. If you go after lost souls, you're going to battle. I'm looking forward to that day when there's going to be no more battles. There'll be no more tears, no more burdens, no more broken hearts. The Thacker, you and Miss Brandis had broken hearts over the last 7-8 days. But over there on the other side, there's going to be no more broken hearts. You can rest in the fact knowing that Jonathan beat you home. He's having time over there right now. He made it in by 4 weeks. 4 weeks. I want you to think about that. Jonathan made it in by just 30 days. Are you ready to meet God? Some of you sat here this morning, you've yawned, you looked at your watch, you looked at your phone. And on a message that should stir our hearts and encourage us, heaven just seems a far reality to you. It does nothing to cheer your insides. It does nothing to encourage you. It does nothing to bring you joy. So my question is, are you ready to even meet God? Heaven should be something that causes us to have a heart full of joy. It should cause us to do more for the Lord because of what He's done for us. See, He did more than we ever deserved by dying on the cross for our sins. But it didn't stop there. He loved us so much that He died for us, but then He spent 2,000 years preparing a place for us. If God created all of this in 6 days, imagine what your mansion looks like. Because He said, I'm going to go prepare. And I will come again and receive you unto myself. He spent over 2,000 years preparing you a mansion. Imagine what it looks like. That ought to thrill your heart. I'm ready to go. There's one thing that keeps me here. There's people dying and going to hell. And I want to take as many people with me, Brother Steve, as I can take. Since God saved me 2 years ago, going on 3 years now, it'll be 3 years in May, He's let us see over 5,000 people walking out and trust Christ. But there's millions that are still going to hell. I want to see everybody I can experience what God did for me in their own life. That's what keeps me here. That's the only reason I want to stay here. There's no worldly goods here that entices me, that makes me want to stay. I want people to experience what God did for me. Won't it be wonderful there? Heaven. Think about what's happening in heaven. Some of you need to get an imagination. I can imagine out my back door. I can imagine Crystal River running through. I can imagine trout in that river, 100 pound of bull. The world went crazy a few weeks ago on the 16-pound crappie. Imagine it being 600-pound crappie. You say, I don't believe it. You can't prove that I'm wrong. Imagine out the back door, 200-inch bucks feeding in the back. For those of you that like golf, imagine the prettiest 18-hole golf course in the back. Some of you look at me like I'm crazy. I believe heaven's going to be far above what we could have ever described. No words could ever pin the words. No men could ever pin the words down in a song. No preacher could ever preach it. Nobody could ever describe what heaven's going to be. It's going to far outweigh anything we could have ever dreamed of when we get to the other side. But more than any of that, more than mansions, more than any of that, Jesus Christ Himself is going to be the light of that world. He's going to be the light of heaven. And we're going to forever get to be with Him, the one who bled for us, the one who died for us, the one who gave everything for us, the one who gave it all just so you and I wouldn't have to go to hell. That should cause somebody that's saved here this morning to shout, knowing you don't have to die and go to hell. And not just that, there's a home waiting on you on the other side that Jesus Himself prepared for you and prepared for me. Won't it be wonderful there? I can't wait for that day. Won't it be wonderful there? Heavenly Father, I've done what You told me to do. Father, thank You for the promise of heaven. Thank You, Father, Lord, that one day soon, very soon, we're going to see You face to face. Thank You for that promise. Father, I pray, Lord, we would live our lives today knowing, Lord, that You've done so much for us. I pray, Father, Lord, we would do everything we can to do all we can for You in reaching others with the gospel. I pray, Father, Lord, for Brother Thacker, Miss Brenda, Becca, and all the family. Lord, I pray, Lord, You would encourage them and strengthen them during this time. Thank You that You saved Jonathan just a few weeks ago. Father, Lord, I thank You, Lord, for putting Your seal of approval on everything that's gone on this weekend. Thank You for Your presence. Thank You for Your sweet peace. And God, I pray, Lord, that in the days ahead, Lord, we'll continue to look up, expecting You to blow that trumpet at any moment. Now, Father, bless us in the days ahead. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Preacher.